I'm hereby calling the regular meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors to order. Would you please stand with me and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. All five of us directors are present, so we have a quorum. I do not have a report to deliver, and I'd like to be moving on to item 1E, agenda review. If there's anyone who wants to either ask for an agenda item to be taken off the agenda or moved, this is the time to do it. Any requests? No requests from the board for agenda adjustments. So it's now time for board member communications. Any director want to share a brief announcement, ask a question, and report on their activities? Dr. Farmer.
Yes, I'm very fortunate to have this totally different microphone here. So I just want to make an announcement. I hope that President Gray is able to see this, and if he isn't, I'll just wave my hand. Yeah. So I just want to let you know there's so much, you know, volunteerism that goes on in this community, and it's such a blessing to live here. And once again, those of you out there in board land have the opportunity to contribute in some fashion if you choose to. And I don't know if you know this, but last night at the NCAC meeting, there was a discussion about what's taking place at Lambton Park and the steps that are going to ultimately be replaced there that will be part of the evacuation process, quite possibly, if in fact we need to do that. But I just let you know that there's a group that's getting together, and it's the Lambton Cliffs County Park Adopt-A-Park, and there's invasive weeds of all types out there that are needing to be removed. And so these folks have gotten together, and they want to do something similar to what our my esteemed colleague, Director Thomas, does every week, Wednesday weeding over at the ranch. And these folks are going to be taking the initiative sometime probably in late August, early September, to begin the process of removing weeds and invasives of all type out there at Lambton Park. And so they've been very fortunate recently in having some really quality donations, so they're not as much in need of funding right now, although if you're interested in doing that, you can, and I'll give you a phone number in a moment. But just to let you know, if you would like to be involved in cleaning up Lambton Park and making and beautifying it and just making it a really special place like it used to be when it first started, let me give you this phone number, 858-541-7040. That's 858-541-7040, and this is basically the Lambton Cliffs Restoration Project. And if you want to contact them by email, it's lamptonrestore@gmail.com. That's lamptonrestore@gmail.com. And if you could just, when they go out there, by the way, to do the weed pulling and the invasives and everything, it's going to be in 2-week segments. So, I mean, 2 hours, 2 weeks, yeah, 2-hour segments, and so no problem there. So thank you so much. And if you do go, have fun.
Okay. Thank you, Director Farmer. Any other announcements? Okay. I just want to Director Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, I just have to chime in. Yeah, thank you, Director Farmer, and you can bet I'll be there. I've been working with Suzanne Fiedler since she initiated that program, and if you ever wanted a good workout, nothing like pulling ice plant, and it's very rewarding.
Yeah, I should also mention, by the way, that Suzanne Fiedler did make a fairly lengthy presentation about the involvement of the Lambton Park's situation there at the last night NCAC meeting, probably about an hour and a half into the meeting, maybe a little bit after that. So if you're interested in knowing a little more detail about it, you can watch that meeting and just forward to that particular segment of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other board member communications? Seeing none, I'll move on to public safety report. And Mayor McDonald from the Stuart McDonald from the Sheriff's Department is here. Welcome.
Hello, President Gray, members of the board, members of the staff, and public. I am Stuart MacDonald from the Sheriff's Office, reporting for the month of June. In Cambria, we had no assault or battery reports. There were 24 disturbances, which included 12 general disturbances, 5 fireworks complaints, 3 loud music complaints, 3 family disputes, and 1 neighbor dispute. There were no burglaries reported. In June, there were 3 thefts reported in Cambria. That included 2 petty thefts and 1 grand theft. Again, the difference being either under $950 loss or over. So 1 over $950. There were 4 vandalisms reported. 3 of those were damages to vehicles, and 1 was damage to personal property. We had no mail thefts reported in Cambria, and we also had no phone scams reported. But unfortunately, I just heard from a member of the public as I was waiting to give my report today that very recently, so in this month to be reported next month, it appears that a citizen of Cambria became victim of the the scam that we've spoke about before.
You go ahead. Yeah, please.
Where somebody will call and represent themselves as being a member of the sheriff's office, and that by getting gift cards and paying a bail, you can get out of an arrest warrant that has been issued for you. I can't stress enough to the public that the sheriff's office does not accept gift cards as payment. In fact, bails and other monies go through the court system, not the sheriff's office. So if somebody were to call and tell you you had a warrant, your first course of action should be to hang up with that person, call the sheriff's department through a known published number, and inquire as to the status of a warrant or not. Those warrants are issued by the court and then sent to the sheriff's office for maintenance and attempted service. So we would have knowledge if you have a warrant because they do come to us for processing and service. But I implore you, please use a known good published number for the sheriff's office to contact us and inquire about that. Do not give money, especially through some remote process such as providing gift card numbers. We had 8 suspicious circumstance calls in June. 4 of those were suspicious circumstances, 1 suspicious vehicle, and 3 suspicious persons. We had 11 enforcement stops in Cambria, 8 of those being traffic stops and 3 of them being pedestrian stops, and 10 preventative patrol activities, 4 parked vehicle investigations, 3 patrol checks, 2 on-site activities, and 1 extra patrol. I will conclude with a couple of topics that we spoke about last month and also at last night's North Coast Advisory Council meeting. Fireworks. There's been 7 dates this month that fireworks have been reported to us. Of course, 4th of July. I think there was someone on the 2nd and the 3rd. The most recent was the 9th. And then on the 16th, there was a shots heard call that I suspect was a firework. So that was on the 16th. So hopefully these calls will diminish. Not the calls reporting them. I encourage everybody to call us every time they hear fireworks. It helps me develop a idea of patterns. But what I am hoping is that the firework activity will wane as we get farther away from the 4th of July. And then there are other holidays that tend to bring them back around Halloween and, of course, New Year's. Graffiti. We will be attending a meeting on Monday that's being hosted by the leadership of the Coast Unified School District. And we'll be meeting with community partners to develop strategies and ideas to hopefully strike at the prevention of the graffiti that's occurring. We also took a graffiti report yesterday that through investigation yielded some information that we will be following up on coupling that with information we've gleaned from previous investigations. Hopefully we'll start getting a picture of who we might contact to determine whether or not they're involved with graffiti. And then lastly, complaints of reckless and high-speed driving in Cambria. Since June 1st through yesterday, I was able to find six calls for service that we had taken and turned over to the Highway Patrol regarding that issue. And I am in the process of working with my administration and our investigative bureau to try and get some technology that might bear some information on that problem. Hmm. And with that, I am ready for any questions or concerns.
Oh, thank you. Do we have any questions from the board members? Director Farmer.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say this. This fellow that's been speeding around town in his I guess I shouldn't mention the car or the color, but having seen him, and he actually had to slow down to turn into his place of employment, so I wrote down his license plate. So if you need any confirmation on that, I don't. I just think kind of funny here. But then again, since it's a serious issue, that is a lot of people have complained about this fellow and his irresponsible nature with regard to loud noise with his vehicle and how fast he's driving. I can kind of confirm that, but I'm sure you already have the license plate number, but I just thought I'd let you know. Thank you.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind emailing me that, I can confirm that that is somebody we either already know about or not. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, I was going to ask about that too, if the and Dr. Farmer knows more than I do, because it seems like a new thing in Cambria. We haven't had that. Speeding and reckless driving, as a problem, significant problem. I was going to ask if there's any sort of street racing going on, or is it just an individual, as far as you know?
I don't know if they're actually racing. Mm-hmm. It's been described as racing, but I don't know that that there's, a speed contest with two cars involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It tends to be very late. So in the early morning hours, between 2 and 5, and it looks like it is centered on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Thank you. Is there anyone who wants to comment on this report in the public? Oh, wait. Dr. Farmer.
I think I should probably get Commander McDonald's email address, if that's possible.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It is S-M-A-C. DONALD at co.slo.ca.us.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Director Farmer, you don't have a light, do you?
It's on this side.
Oh, so maybe you might have to.
I could do camera.
Okay. We're using a. Thank you very much. Oh, wait. Is there any public comment on this report?
No.
Okay. Anybody in the audience here would like to? Okay. Thank you very much, Commander McDonald.
All right. Thank you. And I'll see you.
Yeah. Wave or something. Now I think we have a report from our fire chief, Michael Berkey. Welcome, Chief.
Good afternoon, President Gray, members of the board, members of the staff, members of the community. I'm here with the fire chief's report for the month of June, which is up there on the screen now. So this is the first time with the new format, so let me know what you guys think, and we can adjust. We can change things as much as you guys need me to. So the first page here is just showing the incidents by month. It's just coming up to where we are. This it does include some calls that were in July when this was reported. When this report was ran, it was in July 7th. So up to July 7th, we had 21 calls. But for the month of June, we had 79 total, and you can see the comparison from January. The second page is going to go, it's the monthly call volume year to year. So it's just going to show the same thing, the months, and then the comparisons from the previous year, 2023. And then we get to the incidents page, which is the third page there. Incidents by category and month. So for the month of June, we had one fire. We had 52 rescue and emergency medical service incidents. We had 4 service calls, 15 good intent calls, and 7 false alarms, for a total of 79. If we continue down to the next page, again, this is all online too, on our website. So this is kind of detailing a little bit of where most of the calls were. Most of them, surprisingly, were up in Lodge Hill West. And so this again is just a kind of an example of where the calls are kind of originating and where we're responding to. And then the next page is the incident by shift, just for your information, which shifts run the most calls. And then the final, last and final page here is the incidents by day and hour. Sunday, we ran 12 calls total, and Monday, we ran 5, Tuesday, 10. As it goes along, you can see kind of the trends there, and then the hours of the day. Any questions on that? I know it's hard to see up there. And if you guys prefer this to be printed out, I can totally do that. I was just trying to save paper and time. But if we wanted to print that out, we can definitely do that.
Okay.
It's up to you. I know this is definitely hard for you guys to read, especially in the board meeting.
Thank you. There is a question, I guess. Yeah, we'll have questions from the board members. Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. And yeah, thank you, Chief Berkey. And yes, that was the nature of my question coming. Some way to review this before the meeting. I always Thursday morning look on the board web page to see if there's any additional reports, to see if there's written comments. Perhaps you could simply link it there. We could put a link in. I'm quite happy to go to it, but it helps to have, it would help to have a link with a reminder that here it is, it's okay. Ready. If it's ready, I'll go get it. But as you say,
it's difficult to see. Yeah. So okay, perfect. I think we can make that happen, and it is on our website.
It is on our website, and I did provide you guys with the link last month.
And again, if this is something we want to change, 100%, whatever works best for you guys. I'm trying to get a little bit of more detailed information for you guys and different whatever you guys are requesting. I want to make sure that I can get it to you. So again, trial and error as we move through this. So that concludes my report. I did want to mention we also concluded our weed abatement inspections yesterday. So the first day we did probably 85% of them, and then we had our crews come back yesterday just to kind of clean up and finish up and kind of confirm a lot of those lots that were inspected. So completed yesterday. I really want to give a shout out to our crews because they came in off duty to do that. We also had our on-duty crews do it as well, and they split to just make it more efficient. But they worked really hard to get that done, and to be done in one day with all the crews there was amazing to see, and I was really really proud of them to the work that they did. But at the same time, it starts with you guys. This wouldn't have happened without the support of you and our general manager and our staff. And so it starts at the leadership level and trickles down. And so that, to me, that was a great example of how it all works and how it should work. And so I'm very proud of our team and very proud of our district. I'm open to any questions about that as well. Excuse me.
Yes, Director Thomas.
Yeah. Thanks again. And right, you know, quite a marathon. You know, making the rounds. You know, thank you for that. And again, credits to if anyone missed the messages that there are no exceptions. I don't know how we could have missed that. So thank you to General Manager and Chief Berkey for that message, and to Confidential Administrative Assistant for getting that message out, and also. Do you have just a wide range? It's somewhere around this range of lots that need to be addressed?
Yeah, absolutely. I know the exact number. So it's 296 lots that need to be that have failed. Yeah. And so which is sounds like it's a large number. No doubt about it. And as we move forward with this program, every year we're looking to improve it and get better communication routes. We want to improve that. I know we're doing way more than we've done in the past, but there's still plenty of room for us to go. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be able to solve some of those issues, but a lot of them we're not going to be able to. So moving forward, I think we did an astonishing job this year. Again, the entire team. And so but we've still got a long way to go. And that starts with the communication, and then also, just trying to get the message out that this is we're serious, and this is a big deal. So,
yeah. Thank you, Director Dean.
Thank you. I have gotten so many comments from members of the public who saw your fire personnel going around and inspecting, and how much they appreciated the fact that you were all on top of it, mm-hmm. and also comments that members of the public had to have gotten at least 40 announcements on the weed abatement, and they don't know how anybody could possibly have missed it. So good job, and thank you. And then the 296, so tell us how that compares to last year.
I believe it was in the 500, maybe?
550,
remember.
554-ish.
Yeah.
Well, to be more accurate,
yes,
we had 550-ish on the public nuisance list, but a prior practice of allowing extensions, if they were under contract with someone who is would weed abate their lot, they were left off the public nuisance list, and that was in excess of 300. So in reality, we had close to 800, maybe close to 900 failed parcels.
This was last year.
This was last year. And so to follow up on Chief Berkey, it's our belief that in previous years we were averaging, and Ms. Dodson can correct me if I'm wrong, but we were around 150 was around the average. But I suspect that previous practice of allowing extensions if they were under contract would have pushed those 150s into the 200s, 300s like we're seeing now. So I think this is probably on par with previous years in terms of the amount of parcels that need to be weed abated. It's just the fact that we are actually catching them on the public nuisance list this time.
Yeah.
And I think our staff and our fire department all deserve big kudos for getting this message out early and so often. A lot of the public obviously paid attention. So thank you.
Thank you. And I want to also note that this is all being done a month earlier. Accelerated schedule from last year, so we're getting it done faster. It'll be completed, I guess, within a month, pretty much. Everything, the work will get done, I guess, right?
So absolutely, and that
much improved over previous last year, especially, but previous years generally. I mean, it didn't get done necessarily right on time. So it's great. You guys, you and the staff are doing a great job on this. I had a question about the report. And maybe this is addressed to both you and to Ms. Dodson. How difficult would it be to have it printed out and reproduce as part of the agenda packet? Because I think that's something I missed a little bit.
We can
get a link, but
it's just lengthy. So it's what is it? 6 pages, I think.
Pages.
And so that's what I was trying to avoid.
I know.
Just the printing and everything. But whatever, again, whatever you need.
I don't know if the board is like seeing it there. They're not in their heads.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll have it in the next agenda. Okay. We'll have it printed.
Yeah. Okay.
This is good. It's good information. It's really, you know.
Additionally,
you know, much better, more comprehensive, and you know, better presentation. So it's good to see Director Farmer.
Yeah, President Gray. I just want to make note of the fact that us board members here, we're not the only people that look at the agenda.
That's what I was going to say.
I would think the members of the public who, let's say, go to our website and scroll through the agenda would be interested to see this information as well. So,
yeah. Thank you. It's a very good point.
Is it attached to the agenda? I know it's online, but I don't know if it's not attached to the agenda that's on.
It isn't in the agenda packet.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not online in the agenda packet, but I did link the meeting stats to today's meeting. So in the sidebar, you can click on his fire chief's report from there.
But I think what Director Farmer is saying is that the public, everybody else who sees this agenda, they look for it in the agenda. It's kind of the logical place for it. So that was where I was looking for it too. So I think it's a great report. So
yeah,
love to see more of it.
Perfect.
Get it out there more too. Any public comment on this fire chief's report?
No.
Okay. Anybody online? Anybody here? Anybody online? No comment.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
By the way, President Gray, mm-hmm. I'm sorry I didn't mention this, but before I request that we use a little bit more paper to have that report in our agenda, we should all be acknowledging Chief Berkey for wanting to use less paper.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of the way we should be thinking. So there we are.
Very good thinking. Yes. I mean, the number of printed agendas is still pretty small. Having it in the online agenda, I think, is the important thing, when the people will see when they go to their computers. Okay, public comment. This is a time for comment on items, on topics that are under the purview of the CCSD, but are not on today's agenda. First of all, is anyone in attendance here wishing to comment? Mr. Dujic, come forward, please.
Thank you, President Gray. I would like to share with you an item to be potentially discussed at future meetings. And never let it be said that I don't like setting the bar high. Okay. This may not be new, but it is timely and perhaps even critical to our success in developing the resources and infrastructure for our community. Adopting this idea would communicate the high values of our efforts, set a worthy goal for the future, and even help attract outside funding for CCSD projects. We could refer to this idea as Water Positive Resource Plan Program. If adopted, the goal of Cambria's Water Positive Resource Plan might be to expand CCSD's perspective from a replacement mentality to a value system of giving back more than we withdraw. In other words, building a water-positive resource portfolio along with the infrastructure to support it. This idea goes beyond restoring a portion of the water resources within the watershed. It requires investing in water projects to effectively return back to the watershed more water than is consumed. The end goal of becoming water-positive is to fully serve our community while leaving our natural environment and sensitive species in a better state than they would be if all of us were not here. I believe this goal may be achievable with the operation of the WRF, hopefully with zero liquid discharge, and eventually an integrated direct potable reuse system, plus off-stream storage, and other water supply portfolio options. Of course, achieving this worthy goal will require substantial additional sources of funding, both in the development and operational stages. Advancing a water-positive resource plan could unlock funding sources not otherwise available to our community. And I'm committed to working to find and develop the most economical and environmentally sustainable resources and to secure needed federal and other grants, along with ongoing sources of funding. For direct potable reuse projects, I've done some research and I've identified some potential funding sources available at both the state and federal levels. And I'm going to give this to Haley to take a look at some of those resources. And, of course, in my capacity on the R&I committee, I hope to be able to expand our funding options as well. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other comment online?
No.
And in among the attendees? Okay, so we'll move on to the manager reports. General manager's report, Mr. McElhenney.
Thank you, President Gray, board. We're going to try to keep our manager reports a little bit on the brief side since we're experimenting with how we can be a little more efficient in our meeting. So I'll just cover some highlights, and then obviously the report is there. The same goes for the utilities report. We'll be working out of the Vets Hall on Monday for the Meet the GM with a small schedule change or a couple small schedule changes. The CUSD is holding a task force for some of our issues with graffiti, and that's being held at the school board room at 3 o'clock. So I'm going to take a small break to go meet with the superintendent and some community members at 3 o'clock that day. So I'll sprint over there and then be back here at 4:30. The chief was going to attend, but he had the opportunity to attend a training class, which I think is pretty timely considering some of the things we have going on in the district. It is a statutes and regulation course in Fresno, including code standards, local amendments, site plan review, building construction characteristics, fire protection equipment, and multi-family occupancies. So I think it's kind of timely considering some of the things we've come up with locally in regards to dilapidated structures. So unfortunately, he won't be able to attend, but I'm sure he'll be at the next one. What else can I touch base on? We were applying for the Climate Resiliency Grant, ICARP grant, and I was given a call just a couple days ago, and they gave us quite a few compliments on our application and thought it was a really great application. And that's usually a bad sign when you get those calls, when they're complimenting on those grants. But the state's in a pretty large deficit, and so the $9.5 million dedicated to that grant program has been canceled. So unfortunately, we won't be moving forward with that, but they're going to keep in touch and as they deal with the budget. With that, I will open it up for any questions.
Any questions from the board members? I think Director Farmer.
Yeah, General Manager McElhenney, thank you so much. I just want to ask if you have any more information with regard to on page 4, the security breach at the payment box. Is there any kind of update as to what's happened there?
Yeah, we did file a report with the Sheriff's Department. We haven't heard anything further about that. We did replace the payment box with new stickerage and signage, no cash, checks only, things of that nature, and so that's been replaced. We're looking into potentially a camera system for there, but its distance from our office and Wi-Fi and things like that is pretty, it's not great. So David's, Mr. Geary is looking into some options for maybe a camera there. And then we do have the online payment system and the ACH, which is probably the safest way to avoid this. But we have not heard anything from the public after we made the announcement about any type of issues with their bank accounts or anything like that.
Thank you.
Director Dean first.
On the same topic.
Yeah.
You also have a payment drop box by the door to the office, correct?
Correct.
And does the public who normally uses that drop box from their car realize that there's another way to drop their payment that might be more secure?
Yeah, it is on the website, okay. And it's noted there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Vice President Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I received an email, I think it was yesterday or the day before, saying that my payment is due. And it says, if you haven't signed up for your portal, and I have, that I should sign into my portal and pay my bill. But I'm one of those people where it automatically gets taken out of my checkbook or checking account. So I'm wondering, why did I get that email? Because everybody got the email?
Yeah, it's automated. So as we work through this new system, I've received a couple phone calls this morning about the fact that the bill is auto-paid, and someone actually received the bill that thank you for your payment, and then got a notice the next day saying don't forget to pay your bill.
Yeah.
So a little confusing there. So we'll work on some of those little hiccups. But don't fret if you did get a notice about paying your bill if you've already paid it.
Director Thomas.
Well, thank you, President Gray. I've seen several comments on social media and one email distribution from a member of the public warning the community that the new online system will charge either 3.5% or a $3.75 fee. And it would be useful just to set the record straight on that one more time, if you would.
Please do.
I'll turn it over to the real professional, Ms. Fritz.
Ms. Fritz.
Oh, my. It does cost to pay with a credit card online. There is a service charge. Anyone, even through our old system, ACI payments, if you paid with a credit card online, they charged a fee as well. If you sign up through to get automatic payments out of your bank account, like Ms. Scott, then that is no charge, and that's the same process. You come in, you fill out a form, and anyone who is set up there, they're fine. They don't need to change anything. So it's just if you're going to be processing your payment through the portal with a credit card, you will be charged a convenience fee, which is not different than it has been in the past.
Thank you so much. So it's much like almost every vendor online today. If you pay by check with your ACH, there is no fee at all. And if you pay by credit card, since the credit card companies charge a fee, that has an added cost. But it's absolutely free if you use your bank draft.
Important point to make is we're not changing the procedure. This is the way it's always been.
Well, it's a new platform.
Yes. We're not adding a charge, though, that wasn't there before.
No.
Right.
And also, I would just like to say, through the portal, you cannot sign up for an ACH payment. So there's been some questions about that, but you can sign up through calling our front desk, and there's a form to fill out. And there is a frequently asked questions page on the website that we've been updating when questions come in and to answer all these frequent questions.
Because I had asked about that, I think, a couple of meetings ago about the ACH, being able to do an ACH one-time ACH payment on the website, which I think would be great. And those are typically free. But is it a problem of just the software?
It's just not an option through the software, but we can ask the vendor to see if that is in the works for the future. But right now it is not.
Okay. Any other questions?
President Gray, can I add one more thing to my report?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to give an update on our CDP application to the county.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So the board obviously approved the project description, and as we work towards compiling all the information for the county to prepare it for submittal, I just wanted to give an update as we work with our consultants, SWCA. So some of the comments that we had from the Coastal Commission after the agenda was already posted and the project description was posted, it didn't really affect the project description itself. But some of the things that we're looking to do is there's an EIR addendum that we're looking at doing, a condition of approval, compliance memo, and policy consistency analysis. So we're working on some of those changes in addition to CEQA. And our consultant has given us about a 45-day window to get all of those completed. That should also give us enough time to receive the in-stream flow study that our consultants are wrapping up as we speak. So we're going to submit that as one packet that will be well put together and have a lot of the information needed for the county. So probably another 45 days before we actually make the full submittal to the county.
Yeah, thank you for that update. I had a question about just maybe you could talk a little about the insert in the agenda of the information on the fire information, wildfire information, and where it can be found, and what's in here basically. How's it?
Yeah, we do have that on the fire department website, mm-hmm. and it's linked, and we'll send everybody the link as well. Okay. Yeah. And that'll go out in the GM letter tomorrow night as well, and there'll be a link to it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any more questions from the board? Okay, any public comment? Anybody in attendance wish to comment on this item? Ms. Dodson, anyone online?
Yes, Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question about the CDP for the WRF. Will it come back to the board with all these additional items in the agenda, in the report? Because it seems to me that some of them are significantly substantial, the EIR, the in-stream flow study, et cetera. And I would think that the board would want to look at them before they're sent off to the county. So a response to that would be most appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McElhenney, would you want to comment on that?
So we wouldn't be bringing back the CDP project description for discussion. However, we can make those documents available as we get ready to submit to the county. Mm-hmm. But these are operational documents right. that are for the county. And
right.
We're happy to share them when they're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Green.
We'll review them once they're completed mm-hmm. during an R&I meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because these are not, you know, basically policy statements by the board or anything like that. They are filling the stuff we just have to turn in to get the permit completed. So, yeah. Thank you. Any more comment online?
No.
Okay, thank you. I think this brings us this report to an end. We go ahead with the next report, which is Facilities and Resources. This might be Mr. McElhenney again.
Yeah, right? I'll be taking over that one. David is taking a well-deserved day off after weeks and weeks of weed abatement. He was here last Saturday working on the East Ranch by himself, and so he has taken today off, but he's given me a few updates. activity for the month of June, as previously mentioned, our CCSD-owned lots was where a lot of our Facilities and Resources time went. So David was out there with his crews for days on end, very long days, and I want to commend him and his staff on the work that they did for the weed abatement process. Again, previously, we used to contract out all of that work, and our crews did that this year and saved the district a significant amount of money. So I'm really proud of them, and kudos. They've been managing some of our unhoused encampments with a collaborative effort with Caltrans and the county. Only one encampment had to be removed. He is aware of some of the unhoused activity on Sheffield and Ramsey, which is on county property, and they're continuing to monitor that. The boardwalk project is moving along, and we're working on some of those processes. Construction is scheduled to begin soon. They're just working on some of the underlying processes. Staff has continued to maintain the bathrooms. There's a lot of high volume and traffic in those restrooms, so the crews are working hard on making sure those restrooms are clean, checking those locations twice a day. Lastly, we're sad to report that we're losing Mr. Novus. He accepted a position with Paso Robles City. He's making a kind of a career change into the water and wastewater industry, so we're really happy for him. That's a great move for him, but he'll be sorely missed, and there's a lot of institutional knowledge there that we'll be losing. So there has been a recruitment opened. His last day will be July 29th, and we wish him the very best. And that concludes my report.
Any questions from the board members? Okay. Any public comment on this report from attendees? Mr. Dujic.
Just coincidentally, my wife and I were on a hike this weekend, and we were at Santa Rosa Creek, where it comes into Highway 1. And there was an encampment apparently underneath Santa Rosa Creek, under the freeway at Santa Rosa Creek, just to let you know.
Make note of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a question? Dr. Farmer, you had a question?
Yeah. It's not so much of a question, but just a comment. General Manager McElhenney was talking about unhoused folks at Sheffield and at Ramsey, and he was, those are two different locations. They were, it's not at the corner of Sheffield and Ramsey, but the person that's been hanging out in front of the public restroom there on Sheffield and Cornwall, Susan, has lived in this community for a long, long time. And it's really unfortunate. I mean, anybody that drives by there sees she has all this clutter and everything, just like she did when she was living with her partner, Eddie, before he passed away. And it's kind of an eyesore, and it's kind of frustrating. Yet I've talked with Susan on many occasions, and it's like heartbreaking to see what somebody who used to function in this community, like you and I, has come to this point in her life, and it's just been an ongoing process, where she's just oblivious, so to speak, to what, where she's at and how she's living. And it's kind of heartbreaking, because she's not a bad person. She's, well, she has mental illness, and we all struggle with something. Hers is just a lot more obvious. I just wanted to bring that up. It just kind of crossed my mind, and I just try to have compassion for her. I guess it's kind of a tough place to be. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Any other comments, questions? Ms. Dodson.
Elizabeth Bettenhausen would like to also speak.
Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had the pleasure of watching the cleaning of the Windsor Boulevard or street, wild radish. I like wild radish in the visual overwhelmingness thereof, but I don't like them on the path. And they cleaned that strip beyond belief. They was the Slough County Public Works. And they cleaned the CCSD lot. And I'm wondering if CCSD made any arrangement to pay them, or if they just did out of the kindness of their hearts. It would be very useful for me to know that. Because last year, Carlos Mendoza and the crew cleaned it themselves. So this year, that change has taken place with Public Works of the county. And I'm just wondering, they said that CCSD was responsible. So I'm wondering about that. If you'd clarify that, please, I'd be very happy. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good point to clear up. Please, Mr. McElhinney.
I wish I had an answer for that. I can connect with Mr. Aguirre, but to my knowledge, I didn't know that Public Works was clearing a CCSD lot. I know they worked on that portion of Windsor.
I understand that proportion, that area is county property along Windsor there, right? Is that what we're talking about?
I believe so. I'm just not sure where Dr. Bettenhouse is referring to.
Yeah, Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. And I had meant to bring this up under director comments, but it's probably appropriate here. Reflecting on a few things that we've gotten from the county over the last few months. We asked for the repair to Rodeo Grounds Road, and they graded it. It isn't paved, but that will be on us. We had asked, is there anything you can do about the pathway along Burton Drive from the nursery down into town? I had communicated that, you know, from PROS, and they explained that that's not something they regularly maintained, but they went out to inspect the posts for the guardrails, and in that inspection, they cleared it very nicely. So now there's a safe pathway from the school down into town, from the middle school. Also, the county did the work along Windsor Drive from the highway to Shamel Park. So there's some very positive outcomes and more to come, no doubt. And that clearing along Windsor was the county this year.
Any comments or questions? Yeah, because I wanted to add too that the we've been, I think, trying to ask the county to do these things on their property, and I think in the past we may have had a tendency to just do them, you know, without trying to get the county to do them. So I think we are trying to get more work done by the owners of the rights of way in those places, which I think is very healthy for everybody. So thank you. I think we're ready to move on to the next report, which is Finance Manager, Ms. Fritz.
Thank you, President Gray. So the July Finance Manager's report, there's not have a lot of activity in it. We have the normal disclosures for the director compensation and cash balances, and our expenditure report is in the agenda, item 6A. We have been very busy behind the scenes closing the fiscal year end, and so the fourth quarter budget report is complete, and the final budget is complete and will be discussed next week at the Finance Committee. So if anyone has any questions, I can answer questions, but I don't have anything else to report.
Yeah, great, thank you. Any questions from the board? I don't have any questions. Any comment from attendees here? Ms. Heinrichs.
Yes, thank you. General Manager McElhaney said he would keep the public informed of the costs of the recent dispute with Coast Union School Board. And in June, he acknowledged over $54,000 in legal expenses thus far. Is that correct? And then District Council Carmel had an additional $6,000 for additional legal advice over and above his $13,500 monthly retainer. And Rutan and Tucker got $34,937. Was that for advice on the CUSD well dispute? And could you give us a total of what that has cost so far? Thank you.
Thank you. I think you're is it, were you talking about the expense?
The expense.
Okay, item 6A. I mean, the best thing for us to do is when we get to that item.
Oh, okay.
We'll
take
question.
In the wrong place?
We're still in the report, yeah.
Oh,
but we'll take the question up when we get to that. Just
okay, thank you.
Very shortly. Thank you. Any other comment? Ms. Dodson?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'll move on to utilities report.
Good afternoon.
Jean, yeah.
Thank you, President Gray. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll just kind of touch on some of the highlights here, give some bullet points, and then I'll be available for questions. In the wastewater department for the month of June, the superintendent, Artho, made it over to the site where they are storing the material for the SST. He took our recently charged or invoice list and went item by item to compare to make sure that that was on hand and they were all in good condition. That was done during the first week of June. We also have sheeps and goats at the perk ponds chomping away at our weed abatement there. And also during the month, 2 miles of jetting and inspection were performed by the wastewater and our Vector truck. So it's a very good job. Water department, we had the SS3 well install. It is up and running and fully operational. We are waiting on a component, which again, it's electrical components. So some of these electrical components, such as variable frequency drives, are a little bit longer on the lead time. Some of that still hasn't caught up from the COVID production rate there. And actually, I'll take onus for that. That was a contract that sat on my desk for an extra couple weeks, so that slowed down the lead time. So I apologize for that. June 10th was our rodeo grounds failure there. We spent a good majority of the month excavating, looking at the underground plumbing and appurtenances there. We have no as-built plans for that. So we did some investigation there and repaired there. Pine Knolls, well, everyone saw the damage done. The county was doing some remediation and some sloping on that Pine Knolls Hill there. When one of the contractors was excavating below the pipe to provide some retention, and that displaced earth underneath that pipe caused that pipe to crack. The county fully funded 150 feet of new installed C900 pipe there. fantastic, all up to our specs. We tested the water quality. We worked very well with their contractors, which was SUSE, who did a fantastic job repair and expediting that. And while repairing the road, after that repair, they broke another 20 feet. And so that was recently repaired here on Tuesday. So road's repaired. We've got 170 foot of new pipe in service. So thanks the county for working so well with us and expediting the process. Also several leaks. It's our leak season as we get drier and the climate gets more arid. Several service lines were repaired from meter to main. We also repaired 21 patches from our previous repairs around town. So if you saw some traffic control or some Mission Paving out doing those repairs, they were doing those repairs to get our streets back up in county order. We have a new operator. Clint brings a T2D2 to the game with us, and he's been fantastic in our first couple weeks, so we've really got a great water staff now. And weed abatement on the water side, we had moved the sheep and goats over to the old Title 27 pond where they've chewed up most of the weeds and thistle and Italian thistle there. So, yeah, we're fire ready for the season. So if you guys have any questions, I'm available.
Questions from, Vice President Scott, start.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I already asked the general manager about this, but poor Clint doesn't have a second name. So his name is Clint Conroy.
It is Conroy. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. A few questions. Great report. Again, the trend in clear information continues. Thanks for that. A couple questions. On page 44, a discussion about the inflow and infiltration. Do we have the long-term trends? Do we know the rate at which it's getting worse or the rate at which it's getting better? Or
certainly. So you're looking for volumetric trends. So that's not so easy to capture during storm events, which INI is its highest. But you can usually see how much water and production we've sent out that day. And usually we get about that minus about 25% for the wastewater side. So anything above that is pretty much INI from storm collection. Right now, as we dry up, INI reduces, so it's more difficult to track what INI really comes into the plant.
Okay, fair enough.
Just start throwing stuff out there, Director Thomas.
Right. The a number of questions, but what's worth bringing up here, the comment about the easy to pierce the water lines with a shovel.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit about
if you
that.
Put my 220 pounds on top of a spade shovel, you can cut off someone's foot. That's why we require steel-toe shoes for the water department operators. So yeah, that's very easily done, especially service lines that are very shallow in areas that are very sandy or silty topsoil on top of it. It's very easy to do. So now we have a mechanism with 811 that those contractors that haven't called to mark and they go ahead and what we call cowboy it and go in and start digging and excavating, we're turning them in and we're seeking damage from them.
Thanks. And tell us about where it says the water on, this is on page 55, where it says the water lines are clearly marked. And I haven't seen any such indication on the street I live on. I've looked around. I haven't seen such. So
they're clearly marked. So again, I urge, and it's mandatory to call 811 USA Dig prior to any excavation where you're just putting in a fence pole or you're moving something around in your yard. It's mandatory to call. So when we get those USAs, we go out and we do water and wastewater locate probably 30 to 60 locations monthly There's a lot of activity going on. PG&E is doing a lot of activity where they're moving poles or installing new poles. We have to mark and identify our lines. If you see any blue arrows on the ground, that's water line directly below the surface. If you see green lines, that's wastewater below the surface. So we go out and we mark those. You asked a question about one of our vendors for about $6,700. That's a new listening device. We had a 25-year-old one, so we actually get like subsonic radar where it'll bounce off so we can, you know, unfortunately, not all of our infrastructure is located on as-built or is accurate, so we have to go out there and physically mark that and locate ourselves for each of those locations that are being worked on or excavated. So that's when we go out with our listener, or we triangulate, so we go out to where we have a wire location, and we go off the other wire, and we can kind of see where that line is, where those valves are underneath the ground using those devices.
What a challenge. And I guess we were saying the water line was clearly marked. You had been out there for an underground service right. alert for USA and marked them, and they dug into them anyway.
They did it anyways. And I don't want to be too long. I'll try and keep this brief. But when you paint that line on that ground, and that we're usually off a metal wire that we're which is on top of the surface of the pipe, you have a foot on each side. So when you get in there and you hit that, I really don't feel sorry for the contractors that do that anymore, because it's part of the job. Be safe. And you know, and alternatively, fortunately, they're just hitting water and not a primary line 240 or 480 to our house or commercial residence, because that would be fatal.
Thank you. Dr. Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. Mr. Green, thanks very much for being here. I just a couple of maybe more than a couple, but I'll try to make them as brief as possible, questions or comments. So first off, here on page 45, under ECM2, Influent Lift Station Modifications. So perhaps I'm wrong, but I thought that the improvements that are being made at the wastewater plant were just for the plant and not for the lift stations. So was I wrong there? I mean, it's obviously not a big deal. I just want some clarification. Aren't the lift stations separate from the wastewater plant themselves?
Initially, we had included the lift stations like B1, that's down Tin City, and those lower end B3. Right. As part of that, as it came down, we took the primary ones, so we wanted to do the work at the wastewater plant. We have about 1.1 to 1.2 surplus on top of that. So we switched that ECM2 that you're referring to for that lift station B3 that is a very problematic and our most concerning lift station in the distribution system for wastewater.
Okay, it's not a big deal. I guess wanted some clarification.
No, that's a great question. Yeah.
So a couple of positive comments. The first one being that I noticed the well levels at San Simeon are at or above above average. So I want to thank Mother Nature for providing the water, and for the citizenry for their ongoing conservation efforts at saving water at home.
Right. So, and to add on to that, we're halfway through the year and we've only used 20% of our allocation for San Simeon. So
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I applaud our community. And right. Thank you. And there's a little bit of aquifer management in there too. But
so also here on page 51, right there at the top, it's a report from the work that was being done. It says here, by 10 p.m. that evening, the new length of pipe had been installed, which means that your staff was out there later into the night taking care of that.
Correct. Yeah, that was a 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. day for four out of the five operators. We send one home at a decent hour so that way they can return in the morning. Because sometimes, you know, it gets dark, it gets 8 o'clock. Sometimes you're not sure. We've definitely had some 2, 3 a.m. mornings and had to all turn around at 7. So through trial and error, I've learned that's not the best way to keep somebody fresh when you need to have somebody fresh on in the morning. So we usually send somebody home. So yeah, three or four of the guys remained, until we got that piece of pipe in and then, of course, returned service.
So a couple more items. I'll make it quick. So here on page 58, the last item here, water meter replacement project with regard to Badger Meter. So 1,700 endpoints have been received. So I noticed that in the expense report, let me see if I can find this really quickly. So it says here under Badger Meter, it's just under $250,000 that in the expenditure report.
That's both.
So just this is just for clarification because members of the community, they asked, you know, why are water rates going up? And obviously this is something that needs to take place, and there's going to be more than 1,700 endpoints that are going to be delivered. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but so if you could just clarify real quickly, and then I have one more brief item. Sure. If you could just clarify real quickly why we're receiving these endpoints, how they're going to be installed, how many of them, and ultimately what benefit is it going to be for the district and for the members of the community?
Great question, Director Farmer. Thank you. So first of all, there's a register and there's an endpoint. Your register is that dial. You see the arm going around and the analog number, that's your units in 100 cubic feet going around. Then we have the battery and the antenna, which broadcast that signal cellularly, it's hard to say, off. And that's the piece that's going to get the trucks out of the streets from driving around, you know, five trucks for 2 weeks manually reading meters. That second piece, that endpoint, is what's going to transmit that signal and have us that data and information, you know, right on time, regular time, and get the trucks out of the streets and reduce our carbon footprint, and then obviously get us doing better, bigger, better things, you know, in our water and distribution system and so forth. But the two, what's the confusion here is we received the endpoints first, but we needed the registers to install too. So that 250 or that 249 figure you're seeing is for 1,700 of the registers and endpoints. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, thank you. And so one more thing.
Certainly.
On page 62, under conservation and permits, and I realize this is as much a county thing as county planning and building and revenue collecting. I throw that in there. But so under WilServ's issued a 2675 Sherwood, it says a minor use permit for a demolition. And I don't know why, it just struck me. Oh, a minor use permit to totally demolish a house and then rebuild a single-family residence. I don't know, just kind of an awkward feeling in reading that. You understand what I say? I mean, what do you get with a major use permit of destroy an entire block? No, I'm just kidding. But you get my drift. It's just my weird sense of whatever.
Definitely not minor.
Can you clarify in any way, shape, or form a minor use permit for demolishing it?
Those are usually for additions. So when they're adding some square footage or, you know, reorientating their house, anytime you touch it since 2005, you have to have fire sprinklers if you're adding a certain X amount of square footage. And so that's for review, basically, for that.
Minor use permit goes up pretty high in the – if you're building a new house from scratch, from nothing, is a minor use permit. If you're doing the demo and rebuild, it's a minor use permit. Mm-hmm. It's the one step below coastal development permit, which is, you know, requires environmental review and so forth. So minor use permit covers a wide range.
The skate park is a minor use permit.
Skate park is a minor use permit, yeah. It has a wide range of construction and projects.
I appreciate both President Gray and Mr. Green for educating me and maybe anybody else that was curious. And thank you, gentlemen.
Very good.
You're welcome. And Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. And so we've received 1,700 endpoints and the registers.
And registers.
And I assume that there's around 2,500 still to go, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
That we haven't received
yet. It's called like a drop receipt. So they ship in quantities that are tangible for us to digest and install. Right now we've had horrible luck, I discussed during our R&I meeting, trying to get any vendors who are adequate to install these. So right now we're going about it in-house. In fact, you'll see the superintendent out and myself on our Fridays off coming up here starting to install these manually just to get these going. In parallel with this, we're doing our lead and copper inventory, which is, I've explained before, how we're going on the other side of the meter, on the customer side, and we're inventorying what they have, leaving the meter and entering the house. So there's about 397 of those that we have to do manually to complete that so we can submit that report before our October 24th deadline with the Division of Drinking Water. So you'll see us out there manually installing and... So yeah, it's just where we're at right now. So it's, you know, if we're not manually reading meters, we'll be installing them. But you know, this is just a difficult period. You know, I've warned the water guys that this is just the next couple of months are going to be really tough. But after this, we'll have that you know, that bear of manual labor running around and driving through the streets and reading meters manually that will be relieved. Mm-hmm. So it's just a little we're kind of paying it forward here.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board directors? I had a question on page 60 in the report on the status of the Stewart Street Tank Project. First, is a reference to meeting notes with county planning, and there's a reference to an attachment which isn't there. But maybe this sounds like this project, of course, is still going through the county permitting process, obviously. What was the gist of that meeting, essentially, that was...
The pre-application meeting, I believe it's called. So, again, with all of our projects, we've been working hand lockstep with the county. This, due to the reorientation of the tanks and how much soil we have to move, will be a CDP. There's just no way around it. It'll be a coastal development permit to replace these tanks. So we'll be going through that process, and actually... We're looking forward to dropping the 30% plans here, I think, by August 14th. So then we'll be on the clock, and we'll submit that, and we'll have that CDP in process, which is about 90 days before they review. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we'll keep you updated.
Okay. Thank you. Any public comment from attendees? Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Don Howell, Cambria. This is a question for Mr. Green. I get the impression over the past months that there seem to be more and more necessities for repairs of the water system. But so my question is that just the impression, or are we at the point where our water distribution system is aging to the point where we can expect accelerating failures?
Right. No, that's a great question. Thank you, Mr. Howell. So what I'm going to call it, like the bones of it. So our mains, our transmission lines, we get our once a year problem. Main Street was kind of a special deal because it was Caltrans. Caltrans wants you to sleeve everything. Well, back in the day, they put pressure treated wood or redwood in there to sleeve, and it just rotted, and we lost that middle of that pipe concaved and broke. Most of our problems that occur during the summertime are just simply service line leaks. So they're from the main to the meter, and they were bored initially, so they went right through native soil. Our native soil is clay, sandy, silty, and has a lot of river rock in it. Well, even a smooth edge river rock over the years just rubbing on that pipe, because as water's flowing through there, even compacting the ground, it's wiggling around a little bit. Water uses a lot of force even in a 3/4 or 1-inch pipe. So as that settles, and of course you have the rain, so that precipitates, that pushes the rocks down a little closer to the pipe, and as that rubs year after year, you get those little pinhole leaks. What I implemented when I started 6 years ago is when we visit that, we'll make the repair, we'll put them back online, but we've always come back either at that time, if it's appropriate, if, you know, we don't need to shut down the street, but we'll come back and we'll replace that whole service line. So we've probably, in my lifetime here, we've probably replaced close to 600 lines, and we just don't have that frequency, but now those new ones are popped. We don't have the repeat offenders coming up that way where we clamp 6-7 times, which was kind of our procedure before. So anytime we touch it, we go back, we replace the whole line, so we don't have those repeat offenders. So what we're seeing now is just that native soil rubbing on those pipes. So as far as like our transmission line or a 67 linear miles of distribution system, we're in really good condition. We are
good to know. It's an interesting point about how I suggest an interesting point about how they used to put service lines in without putting – you could explain maybe how it's better. The standards are higher now for Absolutely. How it's done. You sand – what are you encase it in sand so you right. don't have the soil – you know, movement and everything like that.
Yeah. So now, unfortunately, we go back and we trench. So we got to cut up the road. We have to, you know, there's about 30 or 36 inches of cover on that. So we have to trench and remove all that. Now we put the wire in, so we'll always be able to locate it in the future. But yeah, we're actually performing county standards now. So we replace that with 2-3 feet of pack sand. We pack that to 95% plus. We have geotechnical come out and measure our compaction at that time as per our encroachment permit with the county. And then we go ahead and put 6 inches to 12 inches of base on top of that. And then we make the temporary repair with the cold mix. And then we have like Mission Paving come back out and do large chunks of those repairs and repair it back to our county standards, which we have an encroachment permit, which we just renewed here this month.
Yeah. So it's an improvement over what was there before.
Absolutely.
Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. When you pack those in sand, those are 100, 200 year pipes at least.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Any more comment from the public? Ms. Dodson, anybody online?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I thank you, Mr. Green and staff, for the reports. I think we can move on to the regular business, to actually consent agenda, then regular business. On consent agenda, just to circle back, Ms. Heinrichs had some comment on that item on the expenditure report on 6A, and I'll ask her now. Is there anything else you wanted to ask, or there's a question about the legal, if any number for the legal costs of the SR4 process, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. So we can get to that.
It appears that from the numbers from last month and the numbers in this, that the costs are approaching $100,000, and I was just wondering for the total cost.
Yeah, we could probably ask a question about that. Anyway, as the consent agenda always goes, of course, we approve it as a single unit, unless any board member wants to take an item up separately for separate consideration, and then it will be considered first, and then the consent agenda will be passed. Anybody want to pull an item? Anyone have a question? For clarification, one or two short questions for clarification on the consent agenda, on any item of the consent agenda. Dr. Thomas.
The number exceeds one or two, but they're not long. Thank you. Let's see. On page 84, the $34,000 to MuniQuip, was that associated with one of the SSD projects? Remind me, I think.
So the MuniQuip is a dealer who represents certain manufacturers. So our clarifier uses drives and flights and gears and chains. Back in December, which is the worst time to have a clarifier go out for us in the middle of season, it had some issues. So we went ahead at that time in December and ordered this just south of $36,000 worth of material. And we finally received it in June, which is a great time to take the clarifier offline. And we replaced pretty much everything except for the case that came in originally. So they're the sole and exclusive distributor of these parts for that Coleman gear drive. And we took the time and advantage to go ahead and purchase all those parts and install those. So that's why you see that large amount. We had actually ordered it again in December and just received that. So that's why you're seeing that hit the invoice now.
Cycle time. Thank you. All right. On page 86, I noticed some payments to Tobio Madrid, local plumber, also Native American, likewise with Potter Plumbing. I just want to call out and thank staff for contracting with really solid local vendors. The more of that, the better. So Thank you for that. And on the last page, we don't have the breakdown by fund on the expenditure reports. If we could get that later, that would be great.
For which expense are you talking about?
Oh, the last page on the expenditure report. Normally, there's a breakdown by fund, and it's just it's not critical, but it'll be useful to have that at some point when we can have an update. That's all.
Thank you, Director Thomas. Dr. Farmer, do you have anything? I can't see your light, so.
No, I didn't have my light on, but since you're asking, okay. I just want to bring up one item, and it's kind of uncomfortable to bring this up. It's regarding the public restroom on the East Ranch. And I remember when this discussion took place and we, the board, selected the least expensive restroom, which at that time was like $150,000 roughly. And then things added up and added up to where I think the whole project right now is like $361,000. But I'm looking here, the public, a prefab restroom building, just under $200,000. So obviously this in the long term will be benefit for folks that actually visit the community park when it's put together. And it will be a worthwhile investment. And I just want folks to know out there that in no way, shape, or form did the board really anticipate the ongoing increasing cost of what this restroom is. And as I know folks think out there sometimes that we're not being all that conscious or conscientious with regard to this spending of ratepayers' money, and we do the best we can. That's all I can tell you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I have no more questions from the board. I do have a question. I'll transmit this question from our speaker, Ms. Heinrichs, about if there is a kind of an overall number for the, I guess you'd call it the negotiation, potential litigation, any mediation process regarding the SR4.
Yes. Thank you, President. Great. So, like I mentioned last expense report, which was last month, anything associated with Tan and Tucker can be assumed to be associated with the SR4 litigation. So anytime you see those monies. Currently, to date for Tan and Tucker, and these are still rolling costs because we still have some adjustments to make with the surveyors that are kind of going back and forth with the school district. It's not going to affect our agreement. We're still in lockstep with that, but there's just a couple of things we have to tighten up, so you may see some more charges. To date, $69,461 for Rattan and Tucker. Mr. Carmel was roughly at $20,000 last month, and we added another $5,377 to that for a total of, I'll just ballpark it at $94,000 so far in the costs associated with legal fees. The mediation, we settled on an agreement for $260,000 for permanent access. Mm-hmm. So just to put this in perspective, when we started these negotiations, our current rate was at $46,614 per year, which initially they wanted to raise to $60,000 for a 10-year term. So we started at $600,000, then it was $480,000. There was CPI added on to that. At one point, we were talking $26,000 a year for 99 years. So rest assured, the board and staff did the right thing by these negotiations and have saved the district. I mean, in theory, if you wanted to look at the $26,000 a year for 99 years, not counting for a discount rate for inflation, that's a savings of $2,219,161. So just so we're clear.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any public comment? Any public comment on this report, on the consent agenda, any of the items on the consent agenda? And Ms. Dodson, I believe you have Ms. Bettenhausen on the line, right?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Bettenhausen, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I thank Ms. The Director Thomas for raising the issue of the missing summary at the end of the expenditure list. But I want to raise another point about that. This time we are in, we have at least three different items that are in the $200,000 range. And I think it would be particularly helpful to have listing of which funds each is coming from, so that we have clarity on where this money is coming from, as well as where it is going. I would appreciate it very much if the second point, if the general manager would instruct the finance officer to include in the regular expenditure report the reason for the legal costs under each lawyer that appears on the list. I think I can see no reason why they would be omitted, and it would help many of us understand the point that Ms. Hendricks has brought up about where is all this money going and how is it going, at what speed is it going in the various dispositions thereof. So two items, and I would appreciate it if this summary expenditure report showed up every single month, and it had all the details, including adding extra funds if there are extra funds being expended that month to the tune of $200,000 plus. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further comment?
No.
Okay. At this point, I'll bring back to the board for discussion. This is the consent agenda now, these three items, and a motion if someone wishes to make one. Dr. Thomas.
I will move that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
I guess Dr. Dean got there first. Yeah. It's been moved and seconded that the consent agenda be approved. Roll call, please.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. Moving on to regular business, which consists of just one item. This is a discussion consideration of CCSD-owned vehicle policy and adoption of Resolution 23-2004 approving same. I'll turn this over to Mr. McElhaney for a brief explanation.
Apologize, President Gray. I'm getting there. 6C. Is that correct?
No, we're at 7A.
7A, excuse me.
I hope I haven't missed anything. Yep.
Do we miss? Oh, 6C was consent. My apologies.
6C was consent, yes.
All right, here we go. Consent, yeah. Agenda item 7A, discussion and consideration of the CCSD-owned vehicle policy and adoption of a resolution 23-2024 approving the same. The policy committee met. We've had several discussions on the vehicle use policy for the CCSD, in which some past practices had management staff who were taking vehicles home on standby, but we realized that those managers weren't coming in all that often, and so it didn't necessitate that benefit. And so we created an internal memo that ceased that process while we engaged the policy committee on developing a vehicle use policy. Those sections were developed to include a section 3, which talked about the use of our on-call water and wastewater operators, in which they are still allowed to take home the vehicle and for emergency response. And we are codifying that with the resolution because it seems over the last couple decades this discussion has come up several times, and we finally landed on a policy and a resolution to codify that. Okay. And I'm open to any questions.
Thank you. Yes, any questions from the board?
I just like to make a statement.
Oh, Vice President Scott, yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And I do want to thank the policy committee for the hard work that they have put in on this policy and the good ideas that we gave to the staff. And so thank you. We have two people from our committee here. Thank you very much. I appreciate your hard work.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any public comment from attendees? Any comment online?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'll bring this back to the board for discussion and an impossible motion. Director Dean.
I think they did an excellent job on this policy, and I would like to thank them as well. I think they covered everything that everyone was concerned about. Mm-hmm. And if
Maybe I should ask for just a clarification. I think I know the answer, but this is a part of, you know, shows you how focused this is. At any given time, how many actual water and wastewater on-call operators are there? It's just two.
It's just two.
So it's pretty limited.
The only limited exception to that would be is when we have known storm events,
yeah,
and so we might bring in an extra call on-call.
Yeah, but normal circumstances, just two people.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Good. Yeah. And there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion. Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. And I just want to put some appreciation out there to staff and to the policy committee and to the community. There was a lot of challenge. And you've heard passion from me in the past about reducing the number of vehicles that drive any distance to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and just to be economically prudent. And I'm really pleased with the progress of removing the perquisites of a superintendent driving a vehicle home as a perk. They've killed that. Kudos to y'all. And I use the we in the broader sense, really push back on the sense of, well, why really do the on-call operators need to take a vehicle home? Isn't there a better way? And we, I think, really heard some very good rationale from staff, the more than meets the eye. And I don't know, the only analogy I could think of this morning was, you know, you hear parents on the sidelines at a soccer match saying, score, score, you know, it's like, it should be easy. And there's so much more than meets the eye to getting a ball in net in a soccer match, and the score is relatively low. And I, you know, as a soccer player, I understand that. I've never worked in the water department, but we really heard some of the what is the more that meets the eye, and it was eye-opening, and I think it developed a much greater respect for the scope of work and the expertise they have and how important it is to have these vehicles so that they can respond at a moment's notice to the benefit of our community. So thank you for that hard work.
And there is one more person that we need, or two more people that we need to thank, and that is Mr. Green and Tristan. Both did a lot of work on this policy, so thank you.
Thank you. So, any further discussion? Director Dean.
You ready for a motion?
Oh, yeah.
I move that we adopt Resolution 23-2024, adopting the CCSD-owned vehicle policy.
Second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that this board adopt the CCSD-owned vehicle policy and adopt Resolution 23. We basically adopt Resolution 23-2024 approving the new CCSD-owned vehicle policy. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. So we're actually at the end of our meeting almost. Future agenda items. This is the time when the board members can request agenda items to be placed on future agendas. I don't know if we want to do a preview of the August agenda, which will be coming out.
Sure.
Ms. Dodson, maybe you should do that first. Then we'll take public comment too.
Okay. So these items are for the two August board meetings. Discussion regarding board meeting and standing committee length and schedules for the calendar year 2025. A public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of a resolution approving the final CCSD budget for fiscal year 24-25 and reserve for encumbrances for fiscal year 23-24. Receive and file the fourth quarter budget report for fiscal year 23-24. Discussion and consideration of approval of a consultant services agreement with the vendor for a preparation of construction drawings for the Cambria Skate Park. Receive and file the investment report for the Corner ended June 30th, 2024, and discussion and consideration of updates to the standing committee bylaws.
Okay, thank you. Any ideas, suggestions or proposals from the board members? Dr. Farmer.
It's just a question. This came up in conversation with the general manager recently, the general manager and myself. And is there a possibility at some point in the future that we might be returning to one board meeting a month?
Short answer is yes. Mr. McElhenney?
Thank you, President Gray. Director Farmer, that is a discussion we're having, and that's what we're bringing forward to discuss with the board is the potential of going to one meeting a month that would start earlier in the day, last a little bit longer with a lunch break in between. Perhaps that lunch break could serve as closed session if necessary. We believe it will be a bit more efficient for staff in terms of consolidating staff reports and when they're due, maybe perhaps more efficient for the board. And I think that we've seen that things are starting to run a little more smoothly with our current board and staff and the communication that we're having. And so our meetings have been, let's say, less contentious than previous years. And so I think we can safely say that through some of these efficiencies, we can handle one board meeting a month.
Thanks very much.
I think we won't do anything unless the board has a consensus on this, of course. So, you know, this is some of the details have yet to be worked out. But I did get a speaker card. Maybe we should go to that before I have a suggestion too. But Ms. Heinrichs, you wanted to speak on this item.
Yes, just one suggestion. District minutes are so general as to be almost meaningless. Director Thomas has addressed the possibility of improving the minutes to reflect various perspectives expressed during meetings. Please consider adding this to a future agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. I had more than just a suggestion. Ms. Dodson mentioned that next month we had slated item on the bylaws for the standing committees, and I think this was the specific item that we had discussed a while back about codifying our practice of having a limit of just one committee for any particular individual. Since then, we've been made aware of some other potential complexities, I say, of the bylaws for the standing committees, having mainly to do with the structure of six members, one of which is a chairman who only votes in case of ties, and then five other community members, appointed members. Some questions have been raised about whether in certain circumstances, and I don't really believe they've actually occurred yet, but in certain circumstances there could be a Brown Act problem with certain kinds of votes, and also the status of ad hoc subcommittees, whether they can be two or they have to be limited to two. So what we decided to do, since it's a somewhat complicated situation to sort through and solve to find reasonable alternatives or solutions, I've decided to appoint an ad hoc committee to take it up and come back with a report, hopefully by September, but of course, you know, it depends how long it takes. This is a very timely point to do it because in a few months we'll be, you know, re-recruiting for the committees, and it'd be good to get all of this stuff cleared up before then. I wanted to appoint Vice President Scott and Director Dean to this ad hoc committee to look into basically the bylaws of the standing committees, and to see what we could do about any, avoiding any problems, Brown Act problems or whatever, with the voting and quorums and subcommittees, basically. So is it okay with both of you to serve on this committee? And hopefully we can get a report back in September, I think. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Any other items that some people want to suggest?
May I just ask
yes.
a question
yes.
on our ad hoc assignment, President Gray? Mm-hmm. If any of the recommendations that we make on the standing committee bylaws have an effect on the board bylaws, do you want to comment on that too in our report?
Yes, that's a good point. Your focus is on the standing committees, but of course there are some possible spillovers, depending on what solution you come up with for the staff, you know, how the committees are constituted. Yeah, definitely. Well, I think without further discussion and comment, I think we will adjourn this meeting.